In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to his disciples about heaven. And I want to go back and read the first few verses in John chapter 14, where the Bible says, a very familiar passage of Scripture, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." When Jesus said that, one of his disciples, Thomas, replied. It's there in verse 5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And in answer to that question, Jesus said what we read in verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want you to know this morning, I believe that heaven is a real place. I believe there is a place in that third heaven that the Bible talks about, that the Apostle Paul was caught up to one time. And he says, it's unlawful for me to speak about. He said, and I think what he was saying is, I don't know how to describe it. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard of those things that the Lord hath prepared for him that prepared for them that love him." And I think if one of us had the privilege this morning of being caught up into heaven and got the opportunity to come back, we would not know how to describe it either, because we have no frame of reference. I mean, we live in a beautiful world that God's given us to live in, but it's nothing compared to heaven. Nothing compared to heaven. So I believe unashamedly that there is a place called heaven, that where God lives, where Jesus has been preparing each Christian a place since he went back to heaven. And I believe that every single person that knows Jesus as their Savior, one day, either by way of death or by way of the rapture, will go to heaven and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But as I was preparing my sermon, I came to the realization that there may be some here this morning that don't share that belief. There may be some here this morning that do not believe in a place called heaven. And I just want to reason with you for a second. If you're here like that and you don't believe in a place called heaven, I just want you to think for a minute, what if the preacher's right? What if the majority of people here this morning who do believe in heaven are right? What if that book is right? And I'll say this, even if you're here and you don't believe in heaven, even if there's only 1 in 1 million chances that most of us are right and the Bible's right. I mean, if you're here and you don't believe in heaven, would you just say, hey, maybe there's 1 chance in 1 million that all you guys are right, and maybe there's 1 chance in 1 million that the Bible's right. Don't you think even if there's only 1 chance in 1 million that there is a heaven, that you ought to be prepared to go? Huh? Even if there's only 1 chance in 1 million. Now, I believe, to me, it's 110%. I believe there's a heaven. I believe that if I had the big one right now, I would go immediately to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're here this morning, would you just grant me that if there's only 1 chance in 1 million that there is a heaven, then you ought to be ready. If you'll grant me that this morning, I want to tell you how to get to heaven. I want to tell you what Jesus said in verse chapter 6, that we can read and understand and know how we can get ready to go to heaven. I want you to first of all notice that Jesus starts his answer in verse 6. I am. I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I want you to notice that he starts with the words, I am. In Exodus chapter 3, God was calling Moses. He was instructing Moses to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, I want you to let my people go. I have a place prepared for them. I want to take them from Egypt and take them to the promised land, to the land of Canaan. And in verse 13 of chapter 3, Moses was talking to God, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name?" When I go to your people, and I say, "Hey, I'm from God, and I've come from God with a message to Pharaoh to let my people go," and your people ask me, "Well, what is the Lord's name? What shall I say unto them?" And in verse 14, God answers Moses and says, "I am that I am." He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." So when you go back and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and my people ask, "Well, what's the Lord's name?" You tell them that I am hath sent you. You tell them that I am has sent a message to Pharaoh. Now we hear that and it immediately begs a question. Because when we hear the phrase, "I am," we assume there's something coming after it. I am blank. What comes after it? God said, "Go back and tell them, I am." And when we hear that, we say, "Well, okay, I am what?" And what God was saying is, there is a blank after that. You can put in it whatever you want, because I am everything and I am everyone that you need. That's why he didn't fill it in. That's why he leaves it open. Just tell him, "I am sent you. I am sent the message to Pharaoh. I am is going to be the one that takes you to the promised land." And he says, "I will give you and will be everything that you need." Throughout the Bible, God fills in the blank for us. He reminds us of what and who he is to us. He says in one place, "I am your provision. He will supply our every need." He says, "I am your protection, and he will protect us from the evils of this world that tried to destroy us." He says, "I am your hope. I am your strength. I am your comfort." And I could go on and spend the rest of the time that I have this morning, and I could put words in that blank. But the point that I want you to know, this one who's telling us how to get ready for heaven, this one who's talking about his Father's house, starts his answer by saying, "I am everything you need. I am everyone that you need. I am." And then he says, "The way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In Matthew chapter 7, that portion of scripture that we know as the Sermon on the Mount, that sermon that Jesus preached, he was talking about eternity. He was talking about how to get to eternity. And he says, there's two roads to eternity, two ways to eternity. He said in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." If there is a heaven, and again, I believe there is, but if you don't, and you grant me that only there's 1 in 1 million chance there is a heaven, if there is a heaven, then there is a hell. Now listen, you're granting me there's 1 in 1 million chance that there's a heaven. I want to tell you this morning, if there is a heaven, then there is a hell. Oh, and by the way, I will unashamedly tell you this morning, I believe there is a place called hell, a literal place called hell, a place of fire, a place of the bottomless pit, a place where the worm dieth not, a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That place where God is not. I mean, there are a lot of terrible things about hell, and nobody in their right mind would choose to go to hell. Nobody in their right mind would choose to go to hell after reading what that book says about it. Nobody. There is a hell, and there's some bad things about hell that the Bible tells us about, but the worst part about hell is God is not there. Hell was prepared for Satan and all his demons. And if and again, if you don't go to heaven and live with God, the only choice that you have is to go to hell and burn in hell and live with Satan and all his demons for all eternity. Jesus said, the gate to hell is wide. The way to hell is broad. There's a lot of ways that you can get to hell. You can just ignore what this book says. You can just have nothing to do with it. But I want to tell you, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, and he opens the book of life, and he finds your name not written in the book of life, you cannot plead ignorance. I mean, you can choose to ignore what the Bible says, but when you stand before God, it's not going to make any difference if you say, well, I didn't really believe it was true. Because, you see, God can go back to what's today, August 26th. Today, to August 26th, 2012. I say, oh, no, you can't plead ignorance. Because you were in a service at Fellowship Baptist Church where an old preacher told you that there was a heaven and there was a hell, and he told you how to get ready. You can ignore this book and you can get to hell. You can put it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off. One of the favorite tricks of the devil, oh, you don't need to get saved today, you can get saved tomorrow. You can get saved next week. You've got plenty of time. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can trust yourself. I'm a good guy. I don't need to come God's way. I don't need to come to Jesus. I'm a pretty good person. I had pretty good parents. I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. Your heritage won't matter. Your works won't matter. What will matter when you stand before God, the judgment seat of God, is what you did with Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The gate to heaven is straight. The way to heaven is narrow. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. I was talking to somebody when I went to visit my mom yesterday before I came home. I got into this conversation with this guy sitting in the lobby. We just struck up a conversation, and I asked him, I said, hey, do you know if you died today? And of course, you probably shouldn't say that to somebody that's in a rest home, but I said, hey, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, praise God. How come you're sure? He says, because I'm a good guy. I said, you mean, I got to tell you, this is the first time this ever happened to me in my whole life. I told him, I said, I'm amazed. I've never met a person that never sinned. He said, well, I didn't say that. Well, you said you were a pretty good guy. And the Bible says there's going to be no sinners in heaven. So I just assumed that if you knew you were going to heaven because you were a pretty good guy, you could tell me that you never sinned. He said, oh, no, I can't tell you that. I said, well, I want to tell you something. You ain't going to get to heaven because you're a pretty good guy. And I took my New Testament. I took him down the Romans Road. I couldn't get him to pray. I said, now look, I'll be back in a week. I'm going to come look you up and see if you thought any more about what we talked about. You don't get to heaven any other way than coming through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then he says, I am the truth. The truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you what the truth is that will make you free this morning. This is the truth that's embodied in the song that Angie sang when she says, people need the Lord. This is the truth they need to hear. This is the truth that's encompassed in that song, Love Lifted Me, and the greatest love story. The truth is that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. The truth is, when we could do nothing for ourselves to take care of our sin except die and be separated from God and pay the price for our sin, when we could do nothing on our own, God loved us so much. When we were sinners, not after we cleaned up our act, but when we were still sinners, God proved his love toward us in that he sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. And as he hung on Calvary's cross, God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins, laid them on his son. And as he hung on that cross, as the sun turned dark, as God the Father turned his back on his only son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Every one of my sins and every one of your sins, the price was paid. That's the truth. The truth that will make you free. He took every one of my sins and he took every one of your sins and he paid the price. And because he paid the price, he's able to offer to every single one of us the gift of life. And the truth is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, when you're a sinner and are still under the guilt of your sin, you're a slave of sin. You're wrapped up in sin. There's nothing you can do on your own to escape. But the truth will make you free. And the truth is that Jesus died to pay for your sins. And if you'll come to him and ask him, he will save you. He will save you. Not only will he save you, the Bible says he will make us part of his family. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you might say, well, preacher, what does it mean to believe on him? I've heard you say that Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer as answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And what it means to believe on Jesus Christ is that you are trusting him and him alone and what he did on Calvary to pay for your sins. You are resting in that truth to make you right with God, to make you fit for heaven. I can believe that this platform will hold me up. I can have that belief. And there are many people that believe in Jesus. But it's not believing in Jesus that's important. It's believing on Jesus. It's setting down in the truth that he is the Savior. It's resting in the truth that he paid for your sins. It's resting in the fact that if you ask him, he will save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So he said, I am the way. I am the truth. And then he said, I am the life. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 1, the Bible's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And everything that was made by him. And in verse 4 of John chapter 1, it says, in him, in Jesus, was life. John 3:16 talks about everlasting life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I have some sad news for all of us this morning. Sad news. All of us are dying. You may be here this morning and be in robust health. You may not have any medical problem or condition at all. You may feel good. You may feel have strength. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you bound out of bed. I'm resurrected when I get out of the bed in the morning. But you may have enough strength and energy that you bound out of bed. And you may not have any worry at all about any part of your body. But I want to remind you this morning, we are all dying. We will all get a day older today. We will all get a day closer to death. We will all today suffer some deterioration. It only may be a little bit, a little iota in your case, but all of us will suffer some deterioration in our bodies. If you're here today, so every one of us are dying physically. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're dying spiritually. In fact, the Bible says you're already dead. You're dead in your sins. We are dead in our sins. And again, it's not physical death, but a spiritual death. It's being separated from God. That's what the penalty of sin is. The wages of sin is death, being separated from God. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you are dead in Him. And here's what happens. Even though you're dead, you're getting more dead every day. You say, "Preacher, how can that be?" Harry, stand up for a second. Come and stand right here. And Roy, you come over here and stand. Okay, you face this way. Harry, you face that way. Face that way. So Harry's going to represent all of us. We're all sinners. We are dead in our sin. But every day of our life, even though we're dead in our sin, we get a little bit deader because we keep walking away from Jesus. Every day we get further and further apart. Now we're dead, but we're getting deader. I know that doesn't make sense, but it's Bible. We're getting deader because the further away we are from Christ, the deader we are. This way leads to death. This is the broad way that leads to hell. There are many people headed this way. That way is life. So what does Harry need to do to get life? He needs to turn. He needs to turn and look at Jesus. He needs to admit that he's a sinner. He needs to understand that Jesus died for him. And he needs to say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me." You know what happens? When we pray that prayer, Jesus doesn't stand there and wait for us to make our way to him. He comes to where we are. He comes to where we, and he comes in a hurry. And we get life. We get life. Not only life, but we get life more abundantly. There's life. The Bible says, "Narrow is the way, straight is the gate." It's narrow and it's straight because there's only way, one way, Jesus. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That way is death. The gate is wide and the way is broad. And there's many, many people headed toward death. But if you're here this morning, and again, okay, thank you guys. If you're here this morning and you say, "Hey, when I came into this place, I did not believe in heaven. But preacher, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll give the Bible the benefit of the doubt. I'll admit there's one in a million chance there is a heaven." Then you got to admit there's a hell. Then you got to admit you're going one of those two places. I don't want you to go to hell. Nobody that's saved this morning wants you to go to hell. We want you to be saved. And the only way to do that is to come to Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? I'm not going to ask you to join the church. I'm not going to ask you to be a Baptist, although I think it's a good thing to be a Baptist. I think it's a good thing to get into a Bible preaching church. I'm not worried about that this morning. I'm worried about where you're going to go when you die. Where are you going to go when you die? The Lord may come. The Lord may come before we even start the invitation. You may go out of here today and have the big one. Are you ready? Only one way to be ready, and that way is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it, for the directness of it. Thank you, Jesus, for that conversation that you had with your disciples that day when you said, in answer to Thomas's question, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I pray for that one that might be here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, would you impress upon them, Holy Spirit, impress upon them the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, that they're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Only a fool would choose hell. Father, help them to see this morning that the only way they can get to heaven is to come through Jesus Christ. And I pray that right where they sit, they would see the sin that separates them from you. They would see the price that was paid on Calvary. And right where they sat, they would ask Jesus to save them right now. Father, if they've done that or if they need help in doing it, help them to come in just a second as we sing this invitation song. And for those that need help, we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible these things that I've been talking about. And then we'll help them pray. Father, speak to the many Christians that are here. I know most of us are Christians here this morning. Help us to rejoice again what we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice that one day we saw the truth that we were a sinner and that we needed a Savior, and we asked Jesus to save us, and He did. Help us to never neglect that, never take it for granted. But every time we hear a message like this, a gospel message, help us to help our heart to rejoice. Help our soul to sing, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, not because of anything that I did, but because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and do what you know needs to be done this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.